We began last week learning the approach of Rav Shimshon Pinkus Zatzal, understanding the connection between the lights of Chanukah and the Shabbos candles. He pointed out that they share the same Masechta of Gemara. The halachas of both are discussed in the second parak of Shabbos by Mehmed Likin, and we explained that the concept of Shabbos is Shvisa, where everything stops. We don't work or try to accomplish anything, and thus only the presence of Hashem is felt. This Kedusha is ushered in by the Neris of Shabbos. Now, when we think about the difference between light and darkness, the difference isn't that in the light things exist and darkness causes them to cease existing. Obviously, they are there at night as much as they're there by day, right? But by night, we lack the ability to perceive them. When we refer to this world as choshech, as darkness, it's in that capacity. Everything is here in front of us. The world is full of Hashem. As we say, kadosh, 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 meloi chol ha'aretz kavodai. The world is full of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's glory. In the next world, everything is going to be clear and understandable. But in this world, the darkness of Olam Hazeh hides this truth from us. That is the essence of Olam Hazeh. It's a mask. It's a mask for the presence of Hashem, for the Yichud Hashem. When Shabbos is ushered in by the Shabbos candles, that darkness is dispelled, and we have a whole different outlook on the world. Shimshon Pinkus gives one of his classic mishalim to this concept. He says, imagine an Israeli farmer, a simple, hardworking Jew. And it's Shabbos afternoon, he's sitting on his porch in his moshav, enjoying a little breeze in the scorching heat, and he's learning a little chumash with translation, and then one of the non-religious farmers drives by and honks at him, looks up, and the fellow calls out, "Hey, Yoram, how can you sit on your porch like that? You have 20,000 acre field of tomato that are shriveling up in this heat. Get out there and turn on the water." Sure, Yoram smiles to himself, and he thinks maybe one of two things. Either he thinks, "I'm willing to give up everything I have, rather than to desecrate Shabbos. No matter what the cost is, it's worth it." But that kind of thought might sound like he's struggling with the test of to go or not to go. And he then comes to the conclusion, no, it's not worth it. But really, an Amunah Pshuta Jew will say to himself, what is this guy driving me crazy for? What, I should slep down to my field on Shabbos Kodesh? Do you think it'll make a difference in my parnasa? Hashem sends me parnasa, and he can send it straight to my house without me lifting a finger. Only a foolish, irreligious Jew sweats and works his field on Shabbos. That's an outlook we can all have on Shabbos. As soon as we hold the Havdalah candle and say, Hamavdil ben Kodesh l'chol ben Yom HaShvi l'sheshes Yimei HaMaaseh, between the seventh day and the 6 days of work, we turn off the light of Shabbos, so to speak, we extinguish it, pour Havdalah wine on it, this farmer will be getting up 6 a.m. Sunday morning and rushing out to his field to water it. And it can be 20, he can be 30, or it could be 60. During Shabbos, he had a clarity of vision. There was a light, an aur, revealing to him how this world really works. And he thought it would be crazy to knock himself out and work on Shabbos. But during the week, that craziness, so to speak, envelops him, just as it does all of us. Because Shabbos brings upon us such clarity and understanding, it therefore has special halachas which hold us responsible to live up to that level. On Shabbos, there's a halacha of v'daber davar. We can't talk on Shabbos the same way we talk during the week. The ultimate level of this mitzvah was kept by a great tzaddikim who didn't speak a word on Shabbos. That wasn't Torah or Tefillah. The Yerushalmi, in a place referring to people on this level, says that with difficulty they allowed saying Shabbat Shalom. That was only like non-Torah statement they made on Shabbos. But for everyone, the rest of us, there are halachas which things may be discussed and which things can't be discussed. Obviously, many of them pertain to business and things that are prohibited on Shabbos. You can't talk about them as well. But it also alludes to the style of speech and what we are comfortable speaking about on Shabbos. Essentially, what this means is that on Shabbos, the whole world turns into one big bismedrash. In a bismedrash, at least in some Bata Midrashim, one hopefully has the respect and awe not to speak about silly things, not to waste time with something other than Kedusha, and the language is always respectful to the place we are in. There's no off-color jokes in a shul. On Shabbos, the whole world is a Beis Medrash, because we become more acutely aware of Hashem's presence. Chazal say that during the week, if one buys produce from an unlearned Jew back in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, you can't trust him that he took proper trumas in Maestris in Eretz Yisrael, because he might say he did, then only mean he took some of them. We are required to once again take all the hafrashas. This is referred to as demai. You have to re-tithe everything. But on Shabbos, even an unlearned Jew, even someone who might not be so honest, on Shabbos he doesn't lie. Emas Shabbos alam haaretz. The awe of Shabbos penetrates everyone's hearts, even someone who would otherwise fool you about the kashrus of your produce. Shabbos is a force, a light of truth that we can take advantage of, and we're obligated to take advantage of.